to attract younger customers, misrepresenting the dangers of nicotine. Joel Stein says the basis for the lawsuit is that Juul violated North Carolina's Unfair and Deceptive Trade Practices Act. Juul holds at least 75% of the e-cigarette market, and use of the product is rampant among teens, according to government officials. And Britney Spears' career as a performer may be over. The Macomb, Mississippi-born, Louisiana-raised pop superstar's longtime manager Larry Rudolph saying in remarks first reported yesterday that Spears is not physically nor mentally fit to resume her Las Vegas residency early next year and may never be. Hey, there's more to us than USA Radio News. Find out about USA Radio Networks by logging on to usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how you can develop an effective growth strategy using a few simple tips. I'll have inexpensive ways for you to bring in more local customers. I'll explain how you can and should optimize your Google My Business profile. And I'll explain why building a bigger brand in 2019 really matters. It's Thursday, May 16th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we always check the weather. Currently 70 degrees at 12:05, and it'll be mostly sunny today with a high of 72 and a low of 53. For tomorrow, it'll be cloudy in the morning with isolated thunderstorms likely, and then more showers throughout the day and evening with a high of 75 and a low of 55. For Saturday, mostly cloudy during the day. A few showers later in the evening, a high of 74 and a low of 57. And for Sunday, or as I call it, Rutgers graduation day, congratulations, Colin, we will have afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 82 degrees and a low of 64. And a current check of the financial market shows that the Dow is currently up 288.81 to 25,934.83. The NASDAQ up 119.58 to 7941.73. The S&P 500 is up 38.27 to 2889.23. Oil up $1.20 to $63.22 per barrel. Gold is down $12.80 to $1,285.80 an ounce. All right, well, once again, welcome to the program. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com, WHCRDB on your digital players. My name is Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad that you could join me as we get together every week at this time, Thursdays, a little after noon o'clock, to talk about my favorite subject, and that is business and how we can help make everybody's business just a little bit better. I did mention on last week's program that I am in the process, just about done with writing a book, on certain tips and techniques that can help you in your business. And so I wanted to touch on that a little bit more. I got a lot of emails from people asking when it's going on sale, when, you know, will there be any seminars associated with it? There will. But let's finish it first. And then we'll talk about that probably later in the year. But it's the book is designed either for business owners, employees, managers, and it doesn't really matter the size of the company. There are certain habits, certain behaviors, certain tendencies that can be changed, certain processes that can be changed that will make you and your business better. And that's hopefully what we'll capture in the book. So keep listening for a release date on that, and I'll let you know. And then you can also follow my website, jimgano.com. And I will have more information there as we get closer to a release date. If you're listening to the program right now, chances are you're on the internet and you are listening to either huntertonchamberradio.com or you're following along on the live stream on Facebook. Glad you're doing that. Make sure that you like the page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano on Facebook, so that you can be updated midweek on any program topics that I'm going to be talking about or any news that affects business. It usually ends up there first, and then I'll recap it here during the program. This time in the show, every week, we have the Business Quote of the Week, which is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. I like to scour, if you will, different quote sources. I have many books. Sometimes I use the internet. Sometimes I may see something during a television interview. And this week, and I use everything from political leaders, religious leaders, sports figures, doesn't matter, popular culture icons for the quote if I think it's applicable. This one comes from Bruce Lee, and I'm 57 years old. If you grew up in the 1960s, Bruce Lee was a bit of a hero to you, probably why most of us got involved in karate in the first place. But he said, and I want you to think of this as it applies to business. He said, the successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. The successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. That comes to us from Bruce Lee. And I wanted to ask if in your business, not only do you, but do your employees have that laser-like focus? Or do you sometimes scramble to get things done? It's, you know, it's kind of like, we'll get it done somehow. We don't really have an actual plan. You know, so how does your business work? Do you have that laser-like focus, or is it just, you know, imagine the big ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese or something where you're just throwing balls in the air and hoping that, you know, you catch them every now and then. Interesting way to look at your business as to whether or not you have a plan, you're working that plan, and are you maintaining that laser-like focus? So hopefully you are. Again, the quote of the day from Bruce Lee is, the successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. And obviously, in this case, the warrior is you. All right, let's talk about a growth strategy. And a lot of people, when I talk about your growth strategy and what are you going to do, they eyes kind of glaze over. They're not really sure what I'm talking about. And they want to grow, they just don't know that there's a strategy involved in it. But if you run a small business, there's a good chance that you have a strategy for growing that business. I want to reread that sentence because a lot of it isn't true. If you run a small business, there's a good chance you have a strategy, underlying strategy, for growing your business. Now, a lot of people say they want to grow their business. They may say a certain dollar amount, they may say a certain percentage, but they don't tell me what the strategy is. How are they actually going to get more people to come into the business and more people to buy their product? So if you don't have a strategy, then you'll definitely want to start thinking about it, because things change quickly in the world of small enterprises. So no matter your stage in concocting your growth plan, if you follow these steps to ensure your success in their execution. The first is, you may want to try to branch out into new products and services. If you sell the same old thing over and over and over, that's what you become known for. But when you add different product lines, you diversify your product offerings, now people see you for a different reason. We've done it in our business 5 times. Started out as a trophy store, went to varsity jackets, signs, apparel, and promotional items. And what happened was, people may not need awards, but they needed signs and banners. So they came to us for that. Then they saw that we also did awards. People may not need us for signs or awards, but they needed apparel. So they came to us for that. They also saw the other businesses that we do. They also saw that we do promotional items. If they have a kid in high school, they saw that we did varsity jackets. So there's a 5-time opportunity for us to sell to just one customer. And a lot of times, when a new customer comes in, they see your existing product line that they didn't know existed. Or if an existing company customer comes in, they see something new that you're offering that they may have an interest in. So if you found your niche and it works for you, many companies have long and successful tenures servicing a specific niche, but they find it incredibly difficult to achieve any significant growth without expansion into new products and services. Fact is, selling only one or a limited number of products or services can only take your business so far. So you always need to have in mind what additional things you want to add to your bow in regards to what your business offers. You also want to branch out into new geographical turf. Now, like it is with a limit on your products, limiting your geographical or market reach is just that, a limit. Why put such restrictions on your business from such an early stage, argues Jane Absalom, a product manager with Rittany and Last Minute Writing. And what this means is, like, if you have, let's say you open a business in Hunterdon County and you just want to service Hunterdon County, what opportunities are there 8 miles down the road in Somerset County when you get to Branchburg, or 8 miles up the road when you get to Warren County, when you get into the Glen Gardner Hampton area? So just by expanding that net a little bit, you're going to reach more customers. You also want to branch out into new markets. If you want to look at new locations, what about new markets? This could be anything from a different age demographic to a different gender, different interests, different tastes, different economic levels, or different buying approaches. Branching out into a new market does not restrict yourself to more of the same demographic in a new location. It means with some careful consideration, the world could potentially be your oyster. Look at new sales channels. The internet is an obvious example when we want to look at how a new channel can effectively propel a business onto a new level. Okay, so it's highly unlikely another internet will come along anytime soon. But in the online world, new channels open up almost daily, so explore them and stay up to date. Years ago, everybody jumped on the Facebook bandwagon, now the Instagram bandwagon. You have to keep track of what's coming out so that you're ready for it. And so research it, understand it. If you don't, find somebody who does, and then see if it's applicable to your business. You also want to hire outside the box. Whatever your approach to growth, the result of growth will be the same. That means you will need new staff. Additional employees can bring new skills, cultures, and sometimes some challenges, but hiring outside of your normal circle or normal prerequisite characteristics will shake up the dynamic of your existing team. As long as it is done carefully and in the confines of your company culture, then this will take your business to the next level. However, bringing in the wrong people can be equally as damaging. The key is to not necessarily look to repeat the conventional skills that you already possess within your organization. Look for new skills that will allow your company to perform operations that it previously could not. You may want to team up. You know your market or the market you want to penetrate, and you should know what other businesses and products appeal to those markets. One of the most cost-effective ways of getting into those markets is piggybacking on an existing business. Utilize their existing marketing and sales channels. And of course, you can always acquire. The quickest way to increase the size of your business is to acquire another like business. This is a tried and tested strategy, especially if you want to get a foothold in another market or to add another product to your catalog or just expand your current base. Acquisitions can breathe new life into a small business, but if the wrong business is acquired, and I say wrong because the culture, style, market, brand, or any other number of characteristics simply does not fit, then it can signify the death knell just as quickly. And finally, you want to streamline your operations. As your organization grows, economies of scale take effect. It should therefore be possible to streamline activities so that you can increase sales without exceeding costs. Small businesses are often inefficient by nature in either time or cost. Either you have an individual or team focused on every independent aspect, or you might have individuals who commit their time to activities across the board. Building your business should mean making your business more cost-efficient, which includes factors like administration and marketing. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, I'm going to have a couple of examples of inexpensive ways that you can bring in more local customers. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you every week at this time. Thursdays, a little after noon o'clock, we get together, we talk about business and how we can strengthen your business or make changes. And sometimes, you know, you'll have some great suggestions and ideas. We always welcome them. You can email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Ask me or tell me what you want to talk about. And if something is working for you in your business that you want to share with the rest of the listeners, by all means, feel free to do that so we can get that information out to the masses. You know, and one of the things that I look at when I talk about – when I talk with businesses, and I do a lot of consulting with businesses to improve, you know, processes and increase sales and things like that is – and it was kind of mentioned in the last story about teaming up – is I don't think we should all be selfish with the information that we possess. I think that we can share it and if something works for one business in one town that may work for another business in that same town, great. You know, a lot of people say, well, what about with your competitors? There are times when it's okay to team up with your competition. There's other times when it's okay, you know, to go after the same jobs they are. But a lot of times you can learn from each other, and you may find that, you know, your next best hire is working for your competition. You just don't know it yet. But I would definitely say that, you know, you want to share that information. You know, sometimes if a business owner says to me, boy, I'm really struggling, you know, with making payroll, well, then I'll give them a couple suggestions on how to meet payroll. Or if they don't understand taxes, I'll put them in touch with somebody who does. So those are the types of things where if we all share the information we have, you'll probably see a lot fewer businesses go out of business. Because if you have that mentorship or that peer-to-peer type relationship, very often businesses can succeed and thrive as a result. So before the break, I talked to you about our next story and wanted to bring that to you now. And it's inexpensive ways to bring in more local customers. Now, you're probably doing a great job of attracting online customers to your business. You have your website. But have you taken steps to attract customers that are in your immediate geographic location? The versatility and usability of the internet can make it easy to forget that your next customer or brand ambassador could be right in your own neighborhood, maybe down the block. First, you want to fix any small issues that you may have on your website. And one reason that local customers may be hesitant to try out your business is that they have trouble navigating your site. So, objectively, go through all the pages on your site and see if there are any broken links blocking customers from getting the information they need. Additionally, some of your pages could have the same content, which limits their overall usability. Finally, do everything you can to maximize your site's speed. You want to work with local businesses. Rather than looking at other businesses as competition, it's better to view them as potential partners. For instance, if you own a car wash, seek out nearby car dealerships to see if they'd be willing to let you wash, wax, vacuum, and detail their used car inventory to get them looking like new. If you own a restaurant, reach out to local business offices and offer employees a discount for sending new business your way. Think of how you can help other businesses and how they can help you. Focus on individual customers. While it's great to have new customers, what about the ones you already have? It's a lot easier to keep a customer with great service than to bring in a new one. And if you play your cards right, that single repeat customer can bring in additional customers, all without you having to spend a dime on marketing. This all boils down to the fact that you want to do everything possible to make sure that your new and existing customers know that you appreciate them and every second and dollar they spend on your business. You also want to make sure that you ensure that you're on the map. Now, this is one area where a lot of businesses fall woefully short. I'm going to have another story on that in a few minutes. But say that a customer in your area is looking for a business in your industry. If your business doesn't show up on the map, you may have just lost a customer looking for exactly what you offer and the company culture that you have. At the very least, you want to check to see that you show up on Google Maps and Yelp Maps. Appearing on maps is the best way to get new customers who walk in off the street. You also want to find out where your customers are. Rather than wait until your customers come to you, it's okay to go to them. This means commenting on blogs related to your industry or niche and engaging with people on social media. Do more than just advertise when you go to your customers. Let people put a human face or at least a human personality to your brand name. When it talks about working with local businesses and seeing them as competition, it's what I mentioned just as we came out of the break. I'm in the process of doing that right now. There's a couple different types of engraving. The two most popular ones are rotary engraving, which is kind of like a diamond bit scratching into the metal, or laser engraving. And in my shop, I use laser engraving, but rotary's been around for years, decades. And what I'm finding is that the people that I would sub this work out to are starting to retire or die off. And I just found a company down in Somerset, New Jersey, who does rotary engraving. The prices seem right, and I'm in the process now of negotiating with them so that they'll do my rotary engraving for me, and then obviously I would pay them for that service. So it's one of those where any other day of the week we're competition, but there's also the opportunity for us to do business together, and I can help service my customers as well. So don't be shy about, you know, seeking out your competition if you think that they will have an interest in working with you. Now, we talked about a few minutes ago getting yourself on Google Maps, and it mentioned Google My Business. So what I want to talk about now is how to optimize your Google My Business profile. And with the arrival of spring comes the opportunity to give your business a fresh makeover. Before you start checking your budget, know that fresh doesn't always mean new. Instead, some of your current marketing and advertising projects and strategies may need an inexpensive facelift or updating for them to feel brand new. Have you done anything with your Google My Business profile? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you are missing a great opportunity. There is an app out there or feature called Google My Business, and it already pretty much has your listing. It'll say Crown Trophy of Flemington. It might have the address, the phone number, basic information you can get off of a website, out of Yellow Pages or something like that. But there's a way that you can go in, claim that listing, and then modify it to meet your needs. So whenever someone Googles your business, one of the first items to pop up should be your Google My Business profile. Essentially, it lists details regarding your geographic location, information about your industry, the types of products and services you provide, and customer reviews, location, contact information, and other items. A Google My Business profile should give consumers a quick snapshot of your business and what you have to offer before they decide whether to go to your site and give your business a try. But here's where having accurate information is going to help you. Again, you have to claim that listing. It'll say, do you own this business? Claim it. And once you've claimed your Google My Business profile, go over every word and line of the information you see. You want to ensure that the business name, address, attributes, phone number, description, category, and everything else is current and accurate. And once you've done that, go to your website to ensure that the information matches what's on your profile. Note that you want to be as specific and concise as possible when you get to the category and attributes sections. For instance, is your restaurant kid-friendly or is it geared more towards adults? How reviews can help you in your Google My Business. One of the best features of a Google My Business profile for your business comes from the reviews that your customers leave. Once you've done everything on your end to update and optimize your profile, reach out to your current customers to see if they'd be willing to review your business. This is mainly due to the fact that consumers are more likely to spend more time scrolling through reviews than scrolling through your marketing and advertising material. They want to hear from real people. Now, when someone leaves a review, no matter if it's good or bad, respond to it. Thank satisfied customers and reach out to disgruntled customers to see what you can do to turn things around. Bad reviews are the perfect chance to show that you pay attention to what people say and that you want to improve your business. Now, how can posts keep customers engaged? You can also create Google posts to further engage with your customers and target audience. For instance, you can share an upcoming company event that's open to the public. Maybe you've got an exciting new product, service, or special coming up that you'd like your customers to get in on. No matter what you choose to post, it's a good idea to add images, either GIFs or video. That way, you stand a better chance of people actually engaging with the post. And you can also use My Business Messages. Say that a customer has a quick question but doesn't want to call or email you. With My Business Messages, customers can message you directly through a text message. And once you start using this feature, it's best you respond to messages ASAP. Google notes how long it takes you on average to reply. Brighten up your business this spring with a bit of help from Google. These are great things. And again, if you own a business, either right now during your lunch or tomorrow during your lunch, write yourself a post-it note and say, check my Google My Business listing and find it and see what's out there. Everything from questions like, what credit cards do you take? What forms of payment? Is there parking nearby? What are your hours? All of this goes into a Google My Business listing, and you want to have it be as accurate and thorough as possible. Nothing worse than a customer coming to you on a Monday mad because they came on Saturday because your hours said you were open when, in fact, you close at 1 o'clock. So make sure that your Google My Business listing is up to date. Add pictures, you know, as you can, and then verify that the information there is the same information on your website so that the algorithms can talk to each other. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about four crucial digital marketing steps to take when you start a small business. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump has an appointment in the White House Rose Garden in just a few hours when he unveils a White House immigration reform proposal, a plan that reportedly would move the U.S. from a family-based immigration system to a system based on skills and employment opportunities. That plan expected to include also a continued call for construction of a massive border wall. Former President Jimmy Carter is out of a hospital after he broke a hip the other day. The former president's 94. Hoping to be president, another Democrat enters the field, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Donald Trump must be stopped. I've beaten him before, and I will do it again.
The Labor Department says around 212,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week, 16,000 fewer than the week before. And this is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30, get a $100 travel reward credit with a full synthetic oil change through October 31st, 2019. Terms apply. Visit Pennzoil.com/travel on.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Business. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterandChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy in Flemington, the very busy Crown Trophy of Flemington at this time of the year. We got all kinds of stuff going on over there with end of school awards, sports awards, the apparel division's going nuts. So, again, just glad that you could join me and be a part of the show. And hopefully you'll be able to take something away from this that might help you in your business as well. Wanted to talk to you about, well, first of all, I heard something during that news break that kind of made me chuckle. We now have 21 Democratic candidates running for president in 2020. And number 21 is Michael de Blasio, the mayor of New York City. If you had a snowball and you were in hell, that's about the same chance that he has of beating Donald Trump or anybody else from the Democratic side. I'm waiting. I think in June or July, there's two debates coming up with all the Democratic candidates. And I think what you're going to see very quickly is somewhere between 5 and 7 candidates drop out of this race based on their work in the debates. There's too many to make this even, you know, viable. And I think what you're going to find is that some of the weaker candidates are going to drop out early. So hopefully we can get this pared down to a manageable number at some point. So, again, if you're starting a small business, there are a couple of things that in your digital marketing efforts you need to take because it's crucial for the success of your digital marketing. Now, we all know it's 2019, and a digital marketing strategy is essential for any small business. Many consumers first look up information about a company before purchasing anything. So without a website, consumers may overlook your business and go straight to your competition. Fortunately, you don't need a lot of training to set up a website. Some basic steps can help immensely with getting the word out. And I don't want to hear the argument it's too expensive. I'm not asking you to create a website like Ford or GM, just something that will have a place where people can go, has pictures, has information about us, contact us, etc. So you want to optimize your website for people and search engines. People want instant gratification when they browse the web. So you should make sure that your website loads quickly. All pertinent information should be readily available. The homepage should include a clear call to action so consumers know what they should do next. And all of this will also help with your search engine results. When people Google something related to your business and industry, you want your webpage to be on the first page. You're going to want to use keywords. Keywords are essential to any small business marketing strategy. And there are plenty of tools such as keywordtool.io, Google Trends, and Google AdWords Keyword Planner to help you locate words to target. You need to write those keywords into the content of your website. However, you want to make sure the content still comes across as natural. You want to review your online reputation. Even the smallest of businesses needs to ensure their reputations are secure. You should establish a Google alert so you know anytime an article comes out mentioning your company or you personally. Also, check your reviews on Google and other review sites because a lot of consumers look up a business's review before even visiting. You need to remain cognizant of any bad reviews and respond appropriately. Returning customers are vital for businesses, so if you can make sure every customer comes back, then you can help the growth of your company immensely. When we talk about your online reputation, it mentioned setting up Google Alerts for the business. I set up Google Alerts for myself personally. There could be, you know, an article written that I'm unaware of, I may be mentioned in. I just want to make sure how my name is being used. And also when it comes to your social media background, a lot of my customers want to be my friends on my personal Facebook page. Usually I'll let them in, but you also have to be careful of what you're posting there. If you're all your pictures are of you holding a red Solo cup with glassy eyes at a party or something like that, or doing something somewhat obscene, you could offend your customers. So make sure your entire online reputation is clean and professional and presentable to your audience. You want to get your customers' email addresses. Now, when customers come up to the register, your employees should always ask for their email address. And with these, you can set up an email marketing plan where you let customers know about new products and special promotions. You can even use these emails to ask for more reviews. Email blasts are a great way to remind customers that your business exists and give them reasons to return soon. While there are many advanced digital marketing strategies to implement, these simple ideas are a great place to start. These days, people spend a great deal of time on their phones and their laptops, so your business needs to be there too. Put your business in the right direction so that you can grow it. When it came to the email marketing, I always go back to what a lady told me. We send out email newsletters maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks. And one day she came into the store. She said, "I love your newsletters. I don't always get to read them, but it reminds me that you're there. So when I do need you, I know who I'm calling first." That's what you're trying to create, is that front of mind presence. So hopefully you can take that advice in that story. Check your website. Make sure you have a website, and then maintain it and keep it fresh. And if you're going to do email marketing, be consistent. Don't just do one and imagine that it's going to result in a ton of sales. What are the odds that somebody's going to need your product at the exact time you send out an email? You know, just build that consistency so that people, you know, think of you first when they do need you. Now, let's talk about your brand and why building a bigger brand is going to matter this year. Now, when you're looking to drive more traffic to your business's website, you may turn to SEO campaigns to become more visible. In the past, adding a few strategic keywords to your web content could catapult you to the top of the search results. Brand building, while important from a marketing standpoint, wasn't a key ingredient when it came to rising through the results rankings. Nowadays, it can be the difference between on page 1 and page 10. Why have search engines changed their approach? What changed? Well, search engine algorithms changed. Like all business search engines, such as Google and Bing, try to provide what their users want. And users want relevant search results. To deliver this, search engines have gathered data to figure out how people search. And while keywords are still a core component, several other factors influence whether or not users consider a link useful. These include familiarity and trust. Even if a link isn't number one on the results page, users may click it over the top spot because they're similar or familiar with and trust the company that it leads to. Let's talk for a minute about what we mean when we say, what is branding? When most people think of branding, they think of the big names on commercials and grocery store shelves, Coca-Cola, Apple, or Disney. But you don't have to be a mega corporation to actually create a brand. In fact, small business branding can yield significant benefits. Branding often involves a logo and a slogan, but it's so much more than that. A brand is how your company presents its identity to customers. When people look at your logo, they associate different characteristics with that image. The best thing you can do is to make sure those characteristics encourage trust and memorability. So how does branding influence customer or consumer choice? Consumers may consider logical elements such as price and proximity when choosing a company for goods and services, but they're also heavily influenced by emotion. Research shows that people are more likely to become customers of a business they identify with, a concept called brand alignment. They're also more likely to return to familiar businesses. A brand can fulfill both of those needs by showing what your company stands for and be easily identifiable. So what effect does branding have on SEO? Customer tendencies toward brand alignment and familiarity transfer over to internet searches. When presented with one link from an unfamiliar source and another from a familiar source, users will generally click on the second. That's trust in action. As more people click a particular link, the search engine algorithms pick up on it. More click signals that more people find this link relevant, which can make it rise through the ranks. This client is a cycle where the higher your link ranking, the more traffic you receive, and the more positively affects your ranking. So how can you leverage branding for better search ranking? A strong brand is essential to jumping into the cycle of search results. And there are several ways to get started, including promotion, having a unique logo and website design, interaction with customers on many different platforms. Brand building is a process that takes time, but will pay off across the board. So the question is, and if you don't work at McDonald's, and let's for the sake of conversation, I'm not putting this out there to people that work with big companies. You know, if you work at GM or you work at Ford or you work at McDonald's or Burger King or Dunkin' Donuts, we already know your brand. For the small business owner, what would you say is your brand message? What is your brand identity? And if you can't answer that question, then you've got some homework to do because you have to develop that brand. A few months ago, a marketing expert had told me to create a website for myself that covered everything I do, including Crown Trophy, my announcing duties that I do, emceeing that I do, writing that I do, this radio show. And I said, well, what do we call that website? She said, just call it jimgano.com. We want people to learn about you. And I created a logo, just JG, my initials, that now appears on my email signatures. It's in the front page of the website. And within just 4 or 5 months, people are starting to say, man, you really do a lot. Man, I like listening to your radio show. They're ordering my books. They're finding out more about me. I'm getting more emceeing jobs. So it's definitely working. Prior to this, there was no Jim Gano brand, so there was nothing that was really helping me get more contracts and do more work. So it definitely does work, but it's something that has to happen over time. It's something that has to, you know, constantly be worked on, and hopefully you will always be thinking in the back of your head about working on your brand, developing your brand, and making sure that your employees are in lockstep with what your brand is all about. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how to develop an effective growth strategy with a few simple ideas. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Oh, you lucky dog. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you every weekday at this time, or every Thursday at this time, when we get together to talk about business. And glad we can, because it's a great service provided by the Chamber of Commerce, the only chamber-owned radio station in America. And there are so many great hosts here between the counselors that are on, lawyers, attorney, accountants, the home fix-it guys. There's something for everybody. We even have one show in Spanish. It's one of the most listened to radio shows. So there's something for everyone. So make sure you go to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, check out the list of all the programmings and descriptions, and then find them so that you can listen to them. And if you can't listen live, all of these programs are archived. You can find them on the website the next day. And a lot of the people who do the Facebook live stream, like you're watching now, will add that to like a Facebook page later so that you're always up to date with the latest information. Let's talk about developing a growth strategy and why you should. Now, if you run a small business, there's a good chance you have a strategy for growing that business. And if you don't, look at that. You know what? We already read that story. Why I printed it twice, I have no idea. So let's move on to something else, and that is how to prevent emails from reaching the Gmail spam folder. Now, if you have any kind of Gmail or any kind of email, AOL, Hotmail, I saw one the other day that was cs.com for CompuServe. I think that was the very first one. The dreaded location for any email is for it to be in your spam folder. And if you're in a business like mine where orders come through via email, the last thing you want is for somebody to show up in your showroom and say, I'm here to pick up my order. And you say, what order? And then when you search for it, you realize it was in spam. So two things you must do. First, check your spam folder daily. And second, let's listen to these tips so that we can avoid ending up there when we send out an email. So whether you're running a small local business or a digital corporate agency, you're still going to be using email for your main primary communication purposes. Email marketing is the primary channel that businesses use to communicate with other businesses and customers. Now, whether you realize it or not, the structure and organizational pattern of your emails must be well optimized for those emails to reach the inbox and not the spam folder. Simply put, you'll need an email strategy. In what we're going to do now is share several tips that will hopefully keep you out of the spam bucket. So what does Gmail label as spam? Gmail wants to protect its users from fraud, cyber attacks, and irrelevant messages. And the algorithms aim to protect users from anything that they might not want to receive or see by automatically redirecting the emails into the spam folder. Even though email providers like Gmail, Yahoo, and Hotmail all have different algorithms, there are some key factors that ultimately determine whether an email will reach your inbox or the spam folder. They are links. So if you've ever provided hyperlinks that lead to blacklisted sources, your email is going into the spam folder. Certain keywords, swearing or being racist, can get your email identified as inappropriate by the robots that constantly seek out these types of keywords. The source. If you're sending emails from the same IP that has been blacklisted by Gmail, your emails will never reach the inbox. Headers. Some headers, if being corrupted, can be labeled as spam. For example, inconsistencies in the reply to and from address are usual corruption. Recipients rules. Gmail provides its users with the options to personalize their experience. Users can set rules and tags that define what types of email they receive and what type of emails are going to automatically go to spam. Now that you're aware of the main factors that Gmail watches, you can align your strategy with the email provider's algorithm. So here are some tips and tricks. First, you want to always build your own email list. Now, many marketers feel tempted to buy leads and subscribers rather than gathering them in time using their own techniques. Your email content is an important factor. However, if it's pointing towards the wrong audience, you won't obtain any satisfying results. People will ignore your emails, Gmail will note the low open rate, and your emails will find their way to the dreaded spam folder, not people's inboxes. You also want to stay away from the following moves: buying or renting email lists from other people, using a shared email list, selling your subscribers' information to other organizations, and scraping and resending emails. Go for double opt-in. To keep your messages directed towards the inbox rather than the spam folder, go for a double opt-in system. If you require your subscribers to confirm their subscription, Gmail will be less likely to block your emails from getting to your customers. You want to keep your email list clean. There's a metric called engagement rate, which Gmail carefully and continually assesses. When you send things to recipients, some of them open the email while others don't. If a lot of people open your emails, Gmail will classify your messages as relevant. Otherwise, it'll consider them not so relevant, and it may just decide to lower your reputation and sentence you to the spam folder. And to keep your emails headed in the right direction, you should constantly manage your recipient list and keep it clean. Delete the subscribers that show no sign of interest or activity. Now, here's one that always seems to bug me. You have to send great content. And I don't want to scare you when I say that, because so many people will tell me, oh, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to say. Just say something, but make it useful. You know, if you're always forwarding jokes and you're always forwarding, you know, copying, pasting articles or something, that may not be relevant. Putting it in your terms can help. So developing exceptional content. People read their emails because they're looking for any updates, news, and relevant information. They've probably subscribed to your list because they want to gain something from you and because you have something to offer. The best way to improve the deliverability of your content pieces is to make them remarkable. So try to give amazing first-time impressions. Once you start publishing above-average content, your subscribers will get used to prioritizing your emails over others. A couple takeaways here. If email marketing is part of your business and marketing strategy, taking care of your email's content, aesthetics, and structure is absolutely essential. Otherwise, your money, time, efforts, and attention will reach the spam box. So if you use these tips and tricks and keep your communication safe and profitable, hopefully that won't happen to you. Coming up on the end of the show here, but just want to see if there's anything else that we can talk about, you know, briefly. One of the things that as we get closer to summer, and you should be doing this by now as you approach the summer marketing season, is how are you going to position your business for the summer months? Now, are you just going to hunker down and hope to survive, or are you going to create a plan that's going to help you market? So Memorial Day is obviously the first holiday coming up, and then after Memorial Day, you'll have a lot of graduations coming up in June, and then July 4th, and then we go pretty much all the way to Labor Day. So how can you position your business as one that people need in the summer months? It really depends on the type of business. If you sell, you know, skis and snow jackets, unless you're going to have a whopper of a sale, it may not be the best time. This may be hunker down time, unless you're in other businesses or diversified, like pools or something like that. For someone like me, you know, with a trophy store, I can look at family reunions, school picnics, like union picnics, things like that, where people may need some form of an award. But I can also rely on our other product lines to get us through. So are you diversified enough to make that happen? We talked about that in one of the first stories today. Is your product line diversified enough to weather the storm that we call the summer months? And then are you already, and I always tell people, I like you to be thinking 3 to 6 months out in your marketing. Are you already now starting to think about, and it sounds weird, you know, being that it's only May 16th, but are you thinking about the fall? You know, back to school is going to come up. Are you thinking about Halloween? Are you thinking about Thanksgiving? These are the types of projects that now, just putting in a few minutes a day, whether it's just dusting off last year's campaign or creating something all new, can help you be prepared so you're not trying at the last minute to throw something together that really doesn't come off well. Small Business Saturday will be coming up in November. Are you going to be participating? And if so, what will you be offering? Do you have new products coming out that people need to know about? How are you going to stay in contact with your customers over the summer? Is it by email? A lot of people are now using mobile messaging. So how do you intend to keep in touch with your customers and let them know that you're still there? Remember the three W's: who you are, where you are, and what you do. There's a good chance they may need your product at some point during the summer. Now let's make sure they remember where they should be purchasing it from, and that's from you. In sports, the NBA playoffs are underway, and the Portland Trail Blazers are playing the Golden State Warriors. The Toronto Raptors are playing the Milwaukee Bucks as we get done with the conference finals heading into the championship round. In the NHL playoffs, they're also underway. The Eastern Conference Finals, the Bruins are playing the Hurricanes, and in the West, the Sharks are playing the Blues. In NASCAR news, Brad Keselowski won last week's Kansas 400 at Kansas Motor Speedway. This week is a home race for most teams, Saturday at 8 p.m., with the All-Star race. That'll happen on FS1. And in golf, today starts the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black Course in Long Island. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
Taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime.
listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At around 2:30 Eastern Time, President Trump will detail a new plan on immigration, although Democrats are already poo-pooing the plan and any ideas the president has. Republican Senator from Louisiana John Kennedy has a message for those Democrats.
I could be convinced, but I'm not convinced right now that all of my colleagues on the Democratic side really want to fix it, because I think some, not all, but some see this as a great political issue. We got to start thinking about the next generation and stop thinking about the next election so much.
Totally outrageous. That's how House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is responding to a White House letter rejecting demands for documents and testimony related to the Mueller report.
It says the president is above the law and Congress has no right to investigate any of the actions of the president, hold him accountable in any way.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30, get a $100 travel reward credit with a full synthetic oil change through October 31st, 2019. Terms apply. Visit Pennzoil.com/travel-on.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
On Wednesday, Alabama Republican Governor Kay Ivey signed into law the strictest abortion law in the nation. This makes Alabama the most pro-life state in the country. The law goes into effect in 6 months and practically bans all abortions in the state. Alabama State Representative Clyde Chambliss says this law is a chance to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves.
Life is a gift of our Creator, and we must do everything that we can.
Just hours after Governor Ivey signed that law, Republican governor from Missouri Mike Parson said his state is also about preserving the right to life.
I really believe this legislation will get done because I believe it is the will of the people and the people's voices will be heard.
Former President Jimmy Carter is out of the hospital. A statement from the Carter Center says he will be recuperating at his home in the Plains after a hip replacement surgery. He will also be undergoing physical therapy after falling and breaking his hip earlier this week. The former president is 94 years old. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Fire officials say power lines sparked a Northern California campfire in Paradise that killed 85 people last November. USA Radio Network's Wendy King reports.
The official report by CAL FIRE says the deadly blaze was caused by the beleaguered utility Pacific Gas and Electric. Mike Muller is deputy director of CAL FIRE.
We've determined there was power equipment owned and operated by PG&E that caused the fire.
PG&E has previously acknowledged that it was the probable cause of the fire. It's estimated the financial liability could top $30 billion.
Former Major League Baseball All-Star pitcher David Cohen opens up about life lessons and mistakes he made in his new book, Full Count, the education of a pitcher. Cone was a five-time All-Star and five-time World Series champion during his 17 years in the big leagues. Cone also shares what it was like back in 1999 when he had a perfect game against the Montreal Expos.
Well, nobody wants to talk to you. You know, when you have a perfect game, the superstitions, nobody will look at you, nobody will talk to you. So I went up into the clubhouse at Yankee Stadium, and I looked myself in the mirror. I went into the bathroom, put my hands on the sink, and had that proverbial talk in the mirror with myself. And it was good angel, bad angel. It was you can do this, positive thinking, and there was don't blow it. You know, this is your last chance. So it was a remarkable meeting. I've never done that before, and, you know, I tell about it in the book.
Cone also tells Fox News that no doubt that was the highlight of his career. Please remember, you can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.